that his policies are hurting black people a lot more than pies hurt black people.
Specify which of his policies you think are most need to be changed and you are trying to eliminate with your pie approach.
Well, I'm not trying to eliminate anything with the pie approach. The pie was a humorous way.
No, eliminate, not eliminate.
Oh, eliminate. Well, I'd say with the pie, we were mostly addressing the homeless things. He had just come out with these two new programs at the point when we did that pieing, and it was very important that the public knew about these programs because it's a traditional thing. It's happened with the last three mayors that in the third year of their mayoral term, they come up with, fake homeless programs that just move people out of the way rather than offering any solutions in order to appear as though they have done something for homelessness. And it's really important for the public to be aware that actually nothing that helps homeless people is being done. It's just further victimization and criminalization of homeless people.
How have those who know you responded to your celebrity status and, in your criminal status? I know it's nothing new for many Food Not Bombs people to be criminalized, but have you gotten positive support mostly, some negative support mixed, or what's...
I've gotten complete support from my community, the radical activist community in San Francisco and in the entire Bay Area has been completely supportive. I don't think that I've really had celebrity status.
You're a celebrity in my book.
Certainly isn't my goal, but people have been very supportive, for the first month or so after the incident, I needed a lot of help because I couldn't tie my shoes and whatnot because of the broken clavicle, and, the people in Food Not Bombs and the people in the general radical activist community were completely supportive and happy about it, too, and, one of the things that the pie accomplished is it gave people who sometimes don't have a lot to laugh about something to laugh about.
You have pro bono attorneys who step forward?
Yeah.
And when's your first hearing coming up?
Oh, we've already had quite a few.
The next hearing, I should say.
The next hearing's Monday morning, and at that point, our attorneys are going to file some motions, and we will probably find out our trial date at that point. Right now, it's set for Friday, but we're going to be filing a motion to continue, which the DA is opposed to. So depending on the judge, we may or may not be actually going to trial starting Friday.
So we're talking Friday the 8th?
Yeah.
And what's, without, exposing all your cards, you want to tell us what your defense is going to be?
No.
Okay. So where can folks come if this trial goes ahead as scheduled?
Well, if the trial goes ahead as scheduled, we'll be having a demonstration at the courthouse Friday morning.
The Hall of Justice we're talking?
Yeah, 850 Bryant.
But you don't anticipate that?
It's 50-50. It could go either way. We'll find out Monday.
Okay. One last question, I want you to give you a chance to say anything that I've missed, because I know that, I'm sure there's a lot I've missed. Supervisor Amos Brown, I remember having an exchange with him about a year and a half ago at a Coalition on Homelessness demonstration where he was, defending the right of the police or the wisdom of the police in arresting sleeping people in Santa Cruz and giving them Matrix-style citations. He came out with this program, or this initial attack on homeless people using shopping carts, only later to kind of do a 180-degree turn, which supposedly praised or supported homeless people getting shopping carts from certain, large stores. First of all, am I accurately describing that? And second of all, what happened to that program?
Oh, it was a harebrained scheme that didn't go anywhere. I don't know.
Are people's shopping carts still being taken and their possessions compacted by police in San Francisco?
If people are not with their belongings, yeah. If people leave their belongings to go somewhere, for instance, a job interview or anything like that, it's happening a lot that people's stuff is being taken when they're not with it.
So in spite of front page stories in the San Francisco Examiner earlier this week, which I guess public works people are claiming, oh, we would never do that, or we're not going to do that anymore, it's still being done?
Oh, they've always been doing it. They say that homeless people can pick up their belongings, but a lot of people find that they can't find them.
As of about a week ago, 164 homeless people had died in the 1998 last, you know, previous 12 months. Is that number increasing? I don't expect you to be an expert, if you know.
Actually, 1998 was the, you know, the highest number.
It was up like 65% from the previous year, as I understand. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to say, or if you've been able to say everything you wanted to say to the media, maybe you were, I don't know, about the issues around the pine of brown, or is there anything more you'd like to say? I mean, what would you have said if you could have just been given a complete forum to speak your mind? Have you pretty much said it, or is there more you'd add?
Yeah, I mean, I've pretty much said it. I think the action speaks for itself. And, you know, the main reason, you know, the main thing that I wanted to put out tonight is just to remind folks that, you know, we'll be out there Tuesday in front of City Hall, you know, food not bombs, you know, to assert our right to protest and the right that all people have regardless of their economic status.
And the address of this protest is?
In front of City Hall at Civic Center.
Which is?
I don't know the address, actually.
I think it's Van Ness and McAllister or something. Am I right on that?
Right, yeah. It's near the Civic Center Bart stop.
Is there anything people in Santa Cruz can do who can't come up for the protest? Like, is there a...
Well, people in Santa Cruz should be working on homeless issues in Santa Cruz, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You don't want us to fax in our concerns to Mayor Brown or anything of that sort?
Well, I don't have a fax number for Mayor Brown. If folks wanted to do that, well, of course, that's a good idea.
If anybody's interested in communicating their concerns about the mistreatment and neglect and, extirpation of San Francisco homeless people, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I will try to dredge up some fax numbers, phone numbers, and addresses for you to write or call. And in the meantime, show up again at what time, Rahula?
We'll be there from 9 to 5 on Tuesday, January 5th.
So, as in, the theme of the protest is?
The theme of the protest is pretty much visibility is a human right. People have the right to protest, and people have the right to basically exist.
We've been talking to Rahula Janowski in San Francisco, food not bombs and human rights activist. Thanks, Rahula.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the Law Hung Long version of Bathrop Spears' Broadsides. We just heard When the Poor Have Won Their Rights. And before that, an interview with Rahula Janowski, the one of three who pied Mayor Willie Brown. She got her clavicle, the clavicle of her shoulder, broken for it. The issue was Brown's posturing and his hypocritical posing on homeless issues. And I agree with her. I think most Americans understand exactly what was being said, no matter how much double talk they tried to preserve the mayor's dignity in that situation. We've been talking about a lot of different things, getting in a lot of interviews. Just to let you know that as we investigate how the police are keeping or not keeping the guidelines that City Council has set down for homeless people sleeping, that police should not be ticketing them except after a warning and a complaint. And, of course, I say they should not be ticketing them at all since they have no legal place to be, but apparently that hasn't yet made the rounds with Mayor Byers. And hopefully you can help it make the rounds by giving a call to 429-3550, push the pound key, and say, end the sleeping ban. You can do that now, folks, even as you're listening to your radios, 429-3550-pound. You can come on down to the homeless table, run a new Leaf Market, and join our workers there who are tabling, giving out literature, selling buttons, gathering stories, and generally getting out the word that the right to sleep is a human right, and a law against sleep is an unjust law, which is only the first step, of course, in restoring basic rights to poor people and reclaiming for ourselves a society that we should have but never have. Again, 429-3550-pound is the number to call. And if you want to give a special message of encouragement to Keith Sugar, who actually went further than any council member at the December 8th meeting to try to do something to change the sleeping ban law, that number is 429-3550, then 6-pound key. And just encourage him and tell him you appreciate what he's done, and you hope he continues to vote his conscience, not worrying about the political agendas of this person or that. And perhaps when people, when good people vote their consciences, the educational process produces new leaders and new enlightenment for the rest of us. But as I said, I'd like to give you a few positive notes. I've heard from a few callers. They're pretty gloomed out by today's show. We've heard bad news from Berkeley, bad news from San Francisco, sad news, old Happy John Dine songs. It's, it can be a grim scene out there occasionally. But let's hear a little good news. We're talking to a man on the street. You say police spoke to a woman in a vehicle, was it? Or
yeah, what was that about?
Where or what was?
What was that about? What did the police tell this person?
They just simply said that if she went and parked over by Harvey West Park near the shelter over there, that they wouldn't bother her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And where was she parked where they were bothering her?
Over by the homeless garden project.
I see. Get her off the west side, in other words, for heaven's sake. Get out of our hair, you hippie types. Very nice. Thank you.
To Monica.
And Monica, you say police came after neighbors complained about a rowdy exchange, but that they didn't tell you to leave? They didn't tell you you couldn't sleep there?
Oh, yeah. It was just one policeman, and he said just keep it down because the neighbors were complaining, but he wasn't going to give us a ticket this time, but you're not supposed to camp out in Kaiser stuff. And then
where was this?
Up off of Ocean, in some like little residential neighborhood.
How long ago?
About July.
Oh, I see. That was a while ago.
July, August, yeah.
I see. That's cool.
And then also in July or August, I was sleeping by the Cooper Street Plaza. They're kind of behind some offices or something. And then I guess the people there complained because I was just, like, laying down there in the middle of the day. So then a couple police officers just came and told me to leave. But they didn't give me a ticket either, so.
It could have been your sprightly appearance that, probably not. Maybe they were just,
sprightly appearance.
Who knows?
I've gotten tickets before.
You have gotten. Have you gotten any? Okay, what about in the last couple of weeks? Are you sleeping outside?
No.
So you haven't been hassled.
Right.
Excellent.
Not for that. Park? I was in San Lorenzo Park, like, the sun had just set, and my friend was, like, rolling up his sleeping bag, and then, like, this police guy, like, he shined his lights down on us, and he's all like, you guys have to come up here, and blah, 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 and he, like, looked at our licenses, and...
When was this?
Like, a few days ago.
This is for having a sleeping bag in Santa Rosa Park.
For being in the park.
Park after dark.
Right.
That's pretty criminal stuff, man.
Yeah.
You look pretty dangerous to me.
Totally.
Okay, it's December 25th, 1998. It's about 12:35. We're out here at the Veterans Hall. And the line for the Christmas meal is long, long. And we're talking to a man who got a ticket. Do you want to be on Free Radio Santa Cruz? Talk about that.
I camp in the woods in the summertime, and the rangers caught me so many times, they know me by name now, and I got so many tickets against me, I just gave up.
When was the last time you got one?
Right before the Armory
opened.
October 19th.
So you guys are together pretty much?
We got together. We had two tents. We put up our tent in the late evening, and we were given a ticket at about 8:15 in the morning.
Are these Parks and Rec Rangers? Or?
Yes, they were Park Rec Rangers of Santa Cruz.
What did they tell you?
They told us there was no camping and they'd be back that evening.
But they gave you a ticket and not a warning.
They gave a ticket without it. Yeah, no warning.
Have they previously seen you and warned you? Or?
I'd had one warning. I had one ticket. One just before that. I just cleared it out and turned it in the 18th. And I got a ticket the 19th.
You haven't gotten the ticket since October?
No.
Not because you're good at hiding, or
the armory started the 15th
of November.
Of November, and I've been up there mostly. Except going to the hospital for a couple of days.
How is the armory a shelter?
Well, it's a little hard to get up at 5 every morning, but besides that, it's very warm, and I think it's taken care of well. And I volunteer up there, and I think that. It's worthy to pursue and to help people from falling all the way down, because when it gets cold in the winter, I can't hardly move with my arthritis.
What's your name?
Myron Lambert.
And Myron, are you an old-time Santa Cruzan? How long have you been here?
I was class of 70 Santa Cruz High, and I moved here when I was 3 years old.
Wow, so you've
been
around
for a while. And I'm a registered voter. I did vote in the last election.
Cool. Who'd you vote for? Thank you, Myron.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
What do you do with all these tapes?
Well, Heather, we put them on the radio, which is what we're going to do with this interview with you, unless you object. You were working here at I guess you would call it the Christmas meal.
Yes.
You have on your cook's outfit or your apron and your name tag. But you lived in your vehicle for a while, right?
Right.
And where are you from?
Philadelphia. And came out here and kind of got stuck here. And Merry Christmas! Yeah, and I was kind of one of the lucky ones, though. No one ever hassled me, had curtains up and all that, and got away with it. And unfortunately, I...
So how long were you in your vehicle?
For about 3-4 months. Before I actually settled down under a roof, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, so that's my story. I don't know what else to say. I just never...
Where were you parked when you were parked?
On the ocean side, by the surfing, the big surf monument thing there.
Did you get to know folks on the street in their vehicles when you were parked there?
No, not really. There wasn't that many people around. I didn't see. I think I was the only van that was parked there.
And here you are, moving up in the world from... what kind of work do you do when you're not doing this?
Oh, not
enough. But you do have... You have some kind of income that enables you to go
and
do it.
I work retail right now. Okay. It's not my calling or anything, but...
But it's something you do to survive.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Heather, thank you very much, and thank you for helping other folks survive today.
Yeah?
We're talking to
Randy Hale.
Randy, you're here on the Christmas line, and you said you pulled into Kinko's last night and got a very special Christmas Eve gift.
Yeah, I pulled into Kinko's. My tranny fell off my car and ground up the starter. So I pull in there, and I couldn't really move it, you know. And so I go and get the starter and come back, and it was gone. It's like they towed it so fast.
Not the starter, but the car was gone.
The car was gone, and the starter cost $115. Now I've got to look at, find out who's got it. I got to, you know, get the money, get it out, if it's registered. It's not even registered. I just bought it. Now I got to find the other guy, go find, get some paperwork. You know, it's, I mean, they may, I mean, lose
my car. Did you crash the vehicle into the Kinko's window? Were you screaming obscenities? Were there murdered children near the vehicle? Or?
No, it just broke down. I went and got the part.
I see. How long did that take you?
Well, I was gone for several hours, but still, you know, it's like...
Okay, we have another... Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, there seems to be an operative that's working for the Rockwash Cafe. It's a gentleman that's in his 30s. He's a Harley type of person. He has all these vehicles towed in the Kinko's parking lot when he can justify to himself that they're not a patron of either Kinko's or the Rockwash Cafe. He goes about asking customers if they have a car in the lot, and if he doesn't get responses, he has these things towed, and this is all very illegal.
Huh, very interesting. Thank you, Steve.
And you know, like a lot of times you can't afford to get it out, or if it's not registered, then they won't let you have it out. So then they get to keep it. Plus, they charge you for storage. They let it go up to about $1,400 or $1,500, put a lien on it, and then when you don't get you don't pay it, they write that off to a credit bureau, which ends up you owing that it goes on your TRW or whatever. You know,
plus you don't have a home if that's where you live. If you live in your
vehicle. Exactly. I was living in that car. It was a little
cold winter. May be difficult for you, particularly if you get sick.
Yeah, so last couple nights it's been pretty cold.
Your name is again?
Randy Hale.
And Randy, thank you very much. You should be on Free Radio on Sunday if the FCC doesn't shut us down.
What's Maryland doing?
Maryland?
Maryland.
What's your name, sir?
Franco.
Franco, you've got some ideas about how shelter problems can be eased.
I think you should get an area where it's a designated area where you can camp, and have it so that in that particular area there are no building restrictions, where you could build with pallets and have a telephone there, where people, because there's a telephone there, they would get jobs. People would know where the homeless are, so that they, if they're regular citizens, middle class and upper middle class citizens that want to employ them, they would know where to go to employ them. They would know where to, how to telephone them, and just have an area that's designated. Doesn't have to be the forest. Doesn't have to be in the middle of the city. It can be in an area, maybe near the beach. I don't know, where you could build with tires or with pallets, and. And you even have, you know, it would turn into a community probably of craftspeople and of,
How long have you been in town yourself, Frank?
I've been here about 20 years, but off and on.
And have you been outside much of that time?
Yeah, I've been traveling.
Have you been hassled by police for sleeping outside?
Oh yeah, I've been hassled in Capitola.
Mm-hmm. How about Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I've been hassled there too. When residents have seen me, then they would call up and then hassle me. I remember. Yeah.
How about recently, in the last few weeks? Any hassles?
Not in the last few weeks.
Well, that's good. Is that, you think that's a cessation, or just over people, you're being overlooked? You're more cautious. What's the reason?
Oh, I have a good place where I sleep, yeah.
Well concealed.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Franco.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're talking to our Eye on the Clergy.
Eye on the Clergy.
This is Skyway. Are you still Skyway?
Yeah, that'll work.
So what have you observed, Skyway, as you've wandered from church to church?
Nobody's living in any parking lot. Maybe one van.
Uh-huh.
Really? Yeah, so there's spaces, and I want a form and maybe a list of the people to talk to at these various churches. And what do you think? Like a coalition of people that are helping?
That is one of the points the city council passed, supposedly to survey the churches. Yeah, right. I mean, there is already an exemption from the sleeping ban for people sleeping in church parking lots.
Three vehicles.
Exactly so. Of course, they're not using it, so it's all just paper horseshit at the moment. You know, it's not an effectual thing because people park elsewhere, and churches don't offer their parking lots in many cases. But there were a couple who've expanded in the winter from zero to three. I mean, you know, how many vehicles does that leave outside? You tell me.
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
well, thank you, Scott. Anything you want to add?
Oh, yeah. And
Merry Christmas. God bless everybody.
Humbug. Another page. It's about 15 to 2. I heard from Sean Rude that he was hassled Tuesday night under the Water Street Bridge around 10 o'clock, told to move on by two police officers, city police officers. No apparent complaint, and he did get a warning, got no ticket. He said it's his general experience in the last few days, last two weeks, that there's been no change in the policy. He knows of at least of one ticket given a man outside of a vehicle or a person outside of a vehicle. And that's the update from him. He doesn't want, he doesn't say this in the nature of a complaint, but he says, thank you. So that's his update. He once was an alcohol counselor at New Life, who has actually experienced police at his camp at least twice in the last...
1 o'clock in the morning, wake up, and then just from there, it's like, next thing you know, I'm getting searched and identification, have my whole camp torn apart.
How many people were at your camp?
There were three of them that night. And all got tickets.
And these were sleeping tickets, right?
Uh-huh. Camping.
And these were for both Parks and Rec and cops?
Both times, yeah. It was one time it was cops, next time it was park ranger and cops.
And what did they say to you? Or, do you remember anything in details?
They said, don't be here tomorrow night.
Did they give you a legal place to go?
No. They said, don't be here tomorrow night or you're going to jail.
Did they say there was a complaint?
Oh, yeah, they said that, but I know they're lying.
Where were you? You said on one occasion you were up in the Poconic area?
Mystery spot way out. Yeah. And then the other time I was 4 miles out in Poconic between Felton.
Do you think that they specifically targeted your camp, or are they just looking for camps?
Just looking for camps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, obviously.
How long have you been outside?
15 years.
And has the situation changed this winter? Do you see a lessening of enforcement, or is it the same?
It seems like more harassing people on the sleeping, yeah.
So have you yourself, let's say, the last week, have you been sleeping outside?
Yeah.
Have you been harassed?
Not this week, because I run. If I see them coming, I run.
What do you hear from other people?
I hear most people I know have a place to stay, you know.
So most people you know are not outside?
They suggest that I get a place, but I don't.
Any, hear anything from folks outside as to whether they're getting either ticketed or told to move on?
Both. Yeah, I hear both.
Any specific memories of last week of hearing anybody getting a ticket?
No.
You want to give your name and serial number or not?
No.
Thank you, sir. We're talking to Feed the People Van Dweller Sunrise. And Sunrise, you had some interesting experiences. Well, you've been feeding the people since Sean died, at least probably before that, but you feed out of a large yellow bus,
right?
Yes. You feed 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 5:30 at Logos?
Yes, we do.
And, you know, you got some nice comments from the previously hostile officer, Eveleth, who said he likes you guys, hasn't had any complaints, things of that sort. But his pal, Officer Over, apparently doesn't have the same approach.
No, he doesn't. This was Tuesday night. We were parked over at a parking lot on Cathcart and Cedar, a lot that we have permission to remain in overnight as long as we pay our $1 a day fees. At approximately midnight, Officer Over and a unknown female officer pulled up on our bus and told us to come out of our bus, ran our names, on all the standard routine baloney.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why were they running in? What crime were you suspected of?
The crime of sleeping in our school bus in the city limits of Santa Cruz.
Did you remind the good officer that the police have been directed by city council not to ticket except after a complaint? Did he say there was a complaint?
There was nothing specified about a complaint, and yes, we did remind them of that, but they didn't seem to give a flying wank.
Poo-poo. So this was, you were parked in the parking lot of the Calvary Episcopal Church, which is the red church across from the farmer's market area, on, I guess, what, land leased from the city or to the city or something?
It's land that's leased to the city but owned by the church, yes.
And so you had the permission of the church to be on that property?
Yes, we did.
And how long had you been parking on that property?
We've been on that property for approximately a month.
And you hadn't had any problems with police there before?
No.
Did he say why he was doing this to you at this particular point?
He just cited section 6.36 of the Santa Cruz City Code, which is the vehicular and otherwise known as the sleeping ban.
Indeed it is. And what was your response to that?
I was cooperative. I always, it's best policy to be cooperative with officers, even if you hate them. He told us to move our vehicle to the Holy Cross Church, which we did, at approximately 4 a.m.
Now, before we get into that, you were parked on the sidewalk in the curb area in front of Holy Cross Church, more or less, or in that area?
Yes, we were.
You weren't in the private parking lot of the church, per se?
Well, no. I have a 40-foot school bus. Right. It's a little hard to maneuver that thing around there, a little tiny parking lot.
Uh-huh.
We were under the impression, and that was the impression given to us by the police department, that the whole street area directly adjacent to is also part of their property.
Right. I don't believe that's true, but nonetheless, no matter where you park, provided you're not creating some other problem, given the City Council's new directive, one would think Officer Over would be busy investigating real crimes. But then again, one would be wrong, apparently.
Anyway, Officer Over drove up on our bus in stealth mode. Stealth mode is no headlights, no lighting of any kind, using an infrared scope.
And you know that he was doing that because?
Standard procedure with the infrared scope equipped vehicle that you have to have your headlights off to run your scope. Also, we have an infrared motion sensor alarm in our vehicle to protect us from intruders. His infrared beam set off our infrared alarm. Also, an infrared beam lets off a high-pitched whine, which is picked up by animals. We have a little dog. The little dog woke up, started whining and crying, and started looking outside of the vehicle.
Now, can you tell the squad cars that have these devices? I mean, is there something on the roof? Or?
Yes, it is. In addition to the normal bubble lights that are on top of the police vehicle, there is a white box that is approximately the size of a small portable stereo unit. It's a white box. It has a little tiny camera lens in the very front of it. And that is an infrared scope. There's only one such car that I know of equipped in Santa Cruz City. Anyway, Mr. Over had pulled up on us in stealth mode, no lights, told us that we were, once again, illegally parked, and told us we had to move on. Now, I got up out of the bus.
Illegally parked? You mean that your parking was illegal, or that your behavior in the vehicle sleeping was illegal?
He said that we were illegally parked. Now, I was totally, perfectly, I was less than 18 inches from the curb, and I was in a zone that the parking meters aren't running 24 hours a day. They're only running till 8 p.m.
Did he explain to you why he thought you were illegally parked?
No. He just gave us an attitude, said we were illegally parked, and told us to move on yet again, and emphasized this, but while he drove away and I was starting the bus and getting it ready to go, he shined his spotlight on the bus to make sure that we were fixing the move, and waited till I turned on my lights to show him that yes, I am moving my fucking bus.
And again, you had to move it again.
Yes, and then we ended up just moving it out to the Caltrans designated parking area, which is on Mission Extension.
The area where they had earlier set up some no parking signs, but then removed them, right?
They were going to. They weren't. They didn't set them up. They were proposing to. And then thanks to concerned citizens' phone calls, as well as Caltrans calling in and saying, hey, you can't do that. Federal mandate, you have to have a part of your city set aside somewhere where people can legally park their vehicles and sleep. And that is, of course, for the main purpose is so that people don't get into accidents from sleeping behind the wheel. That is how we lost a very good dear friend, Sean Alimi, because him and his partner were afraid to pull over and go to sleep somewhere because of similar sleeping bans in other counties.
Good point. You know, it's never been made, that, and you're the first person to make that point. But
what's the point?
The point was that the reality of sleeping bans in different cities and counties may have been one of the factors in the death of Sean Alimi, because he was afraid, John Earth was afraid to pull over, and instead that vehicle crashed.
On the interstate that they were on. The rest areas along said interstate have a 20-minute limit, 24 hours a day.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds very peculiar.
Yes.
What do truckers do?
truckers have to go to truck stops. Uh-huh. Or designated rest areas that are for or set aside for truckers.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I just heard about a staff.
Yeah.
Eddie showed me a brochure. Right?
We have some flyers of those. Yeah, I'd probably give you one of those.
So, anyways, what happened? The police were following him for that?
No. He was simply traveling through
something. They were.
So you slept in your vehicle?
In Capitola.
What's your name?
Jenny.
Jenny, you were doing some work here today at the vet's hall, the meal.
Right.
Yeah, but you, how are you sleeping outside now?
No, I have a place now. But I had like over $20,000.
Yeah.
And I was homeless for 4 months. Uh-huh. With a family of four.
I see.
Should have gone.
That doesn't happen in Santa Cruz County.
But it does.
I see. And so
really
you
does.
Got hassled by police for sleeping in your vehicle.
They woke us up in the morning in Capitola, and they told us to
move along.
Go find a place to sleep.
Go find a place, is what they said.
If I could, I would have.
What did you do after that?
I should have gone to, I think you need to know where to go. We didn't know that you could go to New Life Center. That would have been a good first step.
I'm curious,
looking
were you
back,
ready to spend your money, or?
I'd already been spending my money, you know. We stayed at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And they were nice enough to let us stay at a good price.
Right.
We subletted an apartment. Some people went away to Europe for 3 weeks. No TV, it was really nice. Nice yard. And then I subletted another place. That was a studio. And then we finally found a place after 4 months.
Just out of curious, was it just that you couldn't find a place? You couldn't find a place that would accept you with kids?
No, it was like a lineup. There were a lot about every place we went, there were 12 or 15 people filling out applications. And then there was a place I could have a condo, and they wanted a $5,000 deposit. And I had 20, I mean, that's not like I didn't have, I mean, what are people who don't have any money? I was just lucky to have some money.
Did you find it hard because you had kids?
No, I don't think it's that. I think that the owners just look at who they're renting from. I didn't find that at all.
Because I've heard of people that have children that say that they feel like they've been discriminated against because they have children.
That's probably, yeah, they can, if UCSC is paying $600 to stay up at their dorm, then they're competing with all these families down here, you know, and where I'm renting from, he knows he could get $1,200 if he wanted it.
Oh, wow.
But he's getting, you know, $900, and now he knows, now they know. You know, so I'd like to create a job where I could help people who are looking, help them get places, you know, because I've helped people, because I know what it is now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless.
We're talking to, hello. a man in line here, and you say about 10 years ago you were getting you got hassled by police for sleeping outside.
Yeah, we were by the highway in the woods, and they broke down our little tent and stuff, and I got a ticket for it. I had to go to court for it.
And have you been outside at all since, or have you been pretty much inside?
Mostly I've been inside. Yeah, lately
things
yeah.
have gotten better.
Things have gotten better. Yes.
Well, bring your car around on Monday night for Don't Sleep Tonight night.
Okay.
Because for a lot of us, I'm inside, but for a lot of people, things are not better.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. And you have been listening to Christmas Day interviews at the Veterans Hall. I'm your host, Bathrobe Superior Robert Norse, working with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, on the show Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Your call-in number here for the next 5 minutes before I hit the road is 427-3772. So if you feel you've been waiting for all these interviews to come to an end, or at least to a pause before calling, now is your time to call or hold your peace until the show returns on Thursday when we come back at 6 o'clock in the evening for our 6 to 8 show Thursday evening. Again, the phone number is 427-3772. If you want to catch me off air, call HUF headquarters at 423-HUF, 423-4833. If you've had a problem with a cop around a sleeping van, or you just want to report something somebody else has, or you want to report some concerns about police misconduct generally, you can call 457-9754, extension 411, though that number is primarily for sleeping van type calls and information. If you want to get a police call, a call about police misconduct into a group that's concerned about it. SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, call 475-2012. If you don't have a pencil and you're catching all these numbers flying by you, just call 423-HUFF, easy enough to remember, 423-HUFF, and I'll give you the numbers to call when you do have a pencil. Well, we've actually played most of the stuff we intended to play, though we had lots of interviews from the police violence seminar weekend where victims of, relatives of victims of police killing, the police officers killing citizens. We had many tapes there that have yet to be played. We never got together that loop tape, but hopefully will at some point. Or else we'll be playing selected interviews in future editions of Bathrobes, Beers, Broadsides. We return every Sunday at 11 in the morning, go usually till 1:30. Today is quite the exception. And on Thursdays, as I said, we go from 6 to 8. Again, I want to remind you that this week is the first week of the Camping Ban Committee hearings by the City Council. I don't know what they're all about. I know they're supposed to run an hour between 4 and 5. I know they happen, as I said, on Monday and Thursday, and they happen in the City Manager's Conference Room, which is a room in the City Council Chamber Complex next to the Mayor's Office, right in the same area generally as the City Council meetings, although it's in another building. Just go to that complex and ask where the City Manager's Conference Room is if you're interested in these meetings. If you aren't interested, or even if you are, it might be worth your while to call City Council at 429-3550. Push the pound key, 429-3550. Push the pound key and say, end the sleeping ban. We're also in need of volunteers at HUFF, because these next few weeks are going to be the most important to organize presentations about the sleeping ban, particularly with the first big City Council meeting of the year coming up. There will be a meeting on January 5th, Tuesday, beginning at 2 o'clock. I believe that's right. It's a little early, but I think that's their plan, where they're going to be interviewing appointees or people who want to be appointed to the 17, or is it 19, city commissions. You can come and check that out. I think one of us will be there, one of those of us concerned with the sleeping ban. There's also a demonstration in San Francisco on Tuesday, the same Tuesday, January 5th. You may have heard from the interview with Rahula Janowski earlier, where Food Not Bombs and the Coalition on Homelessness will be setting up their food operation, and their homeless people should have a right to be visible right across from City Hall in Civic Center Plaza. If you're interested in going to that, give me a call at 423-HUFF. I will probably be going up there in the morning and may have a spot or two in my vehicle. And I guess that pretty much does it. There will be tabling going on downtown in front of New Leaf Market. We need volunteers to do that. The more signatures we get for the City Council, the more people we get City Council to call into that City Council voicemail number, 429-3550, push the pound key, the more chance there is that this council will get off its duff and do something. So the Mondays and Thursday meetings at 4 o'clock are important. The tabling is important. Support for our brothers and sisters in adjoining cities like San Francisco, such as the Tuesday demonstration, is important. Coming to the Tuesday City Council meeting and putting pressure on the city, both on January 5th and January 12th, is important. It's all important. What can I tell you? If you want to help with any of this, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I want to thank you for being with us today, and we will be back, as I said, on Thursday, barring FCC intervention or acts of nature. And until then, let's go out on these fine words by Carol Denny, who seems to put it best.
Lots of sightings. Jesus would think it was something.